This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Paige Thompson's got a two-on-one, holds it, drags it, scores! 27 seconds in! Hello, Paige Thompson! Now it's Connor Clifton, sends it to the net, scores! Peyton Krebs for Paige Thompson, drops it for Byram, creeps in, scores! Follow-up on the play by Yuri Kulik! Dahlin will leave it for Roseanne Fart, circle shot, scores! Great pass and a finish by Samuelson, and it's 4-1 Buffalo. Byram out of the corner, Kulik up top, scores! What a shot, Yuri Kulik! Sabres with a nice takeaway here, and Nedeljkovic can't handle the rebound! Ozak banks it in! Buffalo gaining the zone here, maybe another push. Yes, there is. Alex Tuch scores! Raining goals in Buffalo! Sabres get a 7-3 win in the books.
Welcome in, Sabres Live on a Friday. A couple of special guests coming up. One, as always expected, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, and one who's becoming pretty much a regular. That would be head coach Michael Leone, the Amerks, as they embark on a 3-3. But Marty, after a 7-3 win for the Sabres over Pittsburgh, it's 3 on the road starting tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, scoring goals is fun. Scoring goals is fun, Duffer, especially when you score 5 in the second. It makes everything a little bit more accepted in a way, because look, like Lindy Ruff talked about last night, like we made a couple of plays that, you know, east-west where we forced a couple of things, but when you're up 7-1 or you kind of just are okay when, you know, there's a bad bounce that goes against you, which again, it makes it 7-2. It doesn't add the same stress, right? And I feel like what we've seen out of the Sabres now the last three games, if not playing with a ton of stress, kind of just really enjoying what they're doing, and you know, the production has been there, that's for sure.
But the production has been there goal scoring wise all season. So if you're trying to tell me, which I wanted to talk about every year, that all you need to do is score goals, then I would say, sorry, Marty, that hasn't translated the way they would have liked.
Not the way they would have liked. But when you think about playing a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who had just lost, you know, 6-1, I think it was, the game before. So you're looking at, okay, they're giving up a lot of goals. How do you beat them? Go out there and score more, right? So, yes, defensively, you know, there's games where you need to be, you know, tight, and you need to be really good. And they've had that over the last three games. But I felt like last night it was all about the offense, and I'm all for it in that game.
But what does it mean moving forward here on this three-game trip with Philly, Washington, and Ottawa?
Well, Philly, you know, they won 6-4 last night. So they have that same feeling of, oh, we need to score goals. So do you have to play a little tighter against a team that is you know, just got their coach fired and maybe are getting a new sense of energy? Absolutely. And obviously, you know, Washington, that's a whole other can of worms right there. It's like playing Winnipeg, where you have to be really good in all aspects of the game. But I'll say this. Look, you know, you didn't have Jason Zucker. Jason Zucker has been a part of the success in wins this year with the Sabres. But Yuri Cooley got a fantastic game. Isaac Roseanne gets an assist. So I like that you're seeing, you know, a sense of, oh, everybody's been contributing to some of the success of late. The Sabres did loan Josh Dunn back to Rochester, so I would anticipate that Zucker will be on the trip with the Sabres. But, you know, it was great to see Roseanne get elevated and get an assist, and Kulik play the way that he has. So that, to me, is the positive moving into the weekend.
Yes, we're looking to the chat with Michael Leone, and now that Dunn has been reassigned, one certainly could imagine him being in the lineup tonight against Bridgeport, and that would change and help things dramatically as the Amerks embark on a 3-on-3 this weekend. Interesting use of can of worms. I'm wondering who's going to open that in D.C. on Sunday.
Alex Ovechkin is going to want to open it and let all the worms out and let's go. I'm starting to get a little worried about Ovi's chase for the great one now.
And really?
Yeah, I think he needs to get one of those big Ovi game where he gets three goals and it puts him back. Like if he just gets one here and one there, I know he's chipping away at it, but I'm a little concerned when it comes to getting it done this year with the time that is left. Or maybe he wants to do it in, you know, Ovi fashion, where he's going to get five goals in the last two games and boom, you know, against the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he passes Wayne that way.
The Capitals have 10 games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the odds are still pretty much in his favor.
They are, but if you figure they need six goals to pass Wayne in 10 games, and who knows if. So there was some speculation.
It's pretty much exactly what he scores at. Like, that's why I'm saying this. And I've been wrong all year long because I'm not sure I even expected him to get to this close this late.
But it's a 50-goal pace. Like, okay.
That's
like
what he's been goals. On.
I get it. But it's still asking a lot. Like, when you score 50.
It's not asking a lot. Did anybody ask a lot of Wayne Gretzky after 15 years of being Wayne Gretzky? No, it's expected.
I get that. And it's expected of Sid to get a point last night and pass Wayne in the, you know, most point per game seasons, 20 in a row. I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Ovi is there's always that one or two games that he just explodes and he scores three. And we haven't seen that of late here. So the pace has dropped off a little bit when you look at his goals per game in the last two, 3 weeks here. So I'm a little worried. 6-10, that's a big ask, and I would never bet against Ovi, but I'm starting to get a little worried.
When Sidney Crosby came into the NHL with as much hype as he had, did you think that he would be this good?
Being this good in the National Hockey League is never a given. You can be the first overall pick. You can have all the hype and promises and junior in college as you want. When you get to the NHL, things are very different. And that's why sometimes a six-rounder, Pavel Datsyuk or whatever, can be a superstar and a Hall of Famer, because something changes when you get to the NHL and the game is different and who adapts with the speed of the game and the physicality of the game. I knew Crosby was going to be good because right away in his first year, I mean, think of the backhand goal on Jose Theodore in the shootout where, you know, the flair for the dramatic, like he loves that and his commitment to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But to say back then, just like to say with Ovechkin, okay, these two guys are going to achieve something that is going to be passing a Wayne Gretzky record for, well, Crosby is consistency. Mm-hmm. Most seasons averaging at least a point per game. Ovechkin is goal scoring, passing
consistency,
but it's consistency as well. But it's in a different way, right? It's the goals. It's the power. Like, it never would I have thought that these two would have achieved what they've achieved now. Mm-hmm. Was it a possibility? Yeah, they had the talent. It was Ole Kolzig. I read in an article just recently, the first practice he was on the ice with Alex Ovechkin, he went up to Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Washington Capitals, and he said, "This is the best hockey player I've ever had to face." And that was in a practice. Mm-hmm. Look, Ole Kolzig played against Mario, played against Wayne, played against Jagr, played against mm-hmm. all of them. And he was like, "No, Ovechkin is the best." So Crosby, Ovechkin, that is, we're lucky to not only have witnessed it, but witness it winning cups, right? Washington winning their cup, Pittsburgh winning three. Like, that's pretty special.
So Wayne Gretzky pretty much declared upon Crosby's entrance into the NHL, "Look, this guy is way better than I was at that," right? Now, Wayne is prone to saying things like this to defer his greatness. But I certainly believed him at the time, and this is a completely different era.
Mm-hmm.
Is Crosby, in fact, better than Wayne Gretzky?
No, he's not. And
is he side by side?
Okay, I have a hard time. Like, okay, the Mount Rushmore of hockey, right?
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of hockey? I think he's 100% there now.
So Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux.
Dale Makar over Bobby Orr pretty soon.
You know, and I get, like, history of the game. Like, I think we don't want to move players out of that.
Agreed.
The Mount Rushmore already there.
Babe Ruth continues to be, like, you know.
But at the same time, Wayne Gretzky took over from somebody else, right? Like,
Gordy.
From Gordy. But there was Maurice Richard, who was the 50-goal scorer and all that. There's somebody else that took over.
Gordy
Maurice
was in between, so it was Gordy.
But there's, you know, there has been a change and multiple changes of that Mount Rushmore mm-hmm. over the years. Like, we're talking about over 100 years of NHL right now.
Right.
So
the point is, there was no chance Crosby was ever going to get 200 points in a season. The game doesn't allow for that, but he still has mm-hmm. done something ahead of his peers, not unlike Gretzky did. And that's why I can't believe, I'm not trying to force an argument here. I'm just trying to make this what it needs to be. Like, what Crosby has accomplished, and I get it. It wouldn't have mattered whether he ended at 79 on this season or 87 next week or 92.
Yeah.
But because it is this round number now where he passed Gretzky, like, this is insane. People need to understand this.
I was thinking about it yesterday driving home, and I'm like, okay, so Wayne benefited from the 80s and early 90s to really get that offensive boost, right? The, you know, 200 plus points and all of that. But where Wayne at year 19 and year 20 and 21 could not keep up at a point of a game pace is also at the time, like mid to late 90s, where goal scoring went down, right? So his last few years, goal scoring went down in the NHL, the trap, the dead puck era. So I'm like, okay, let's compare that to Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby got into the league, and the goals per game has stayed consistent. So he's been able to, with the times, never had to deal with a drop in production that affected his point per game. But I don't even know if Sidney Crosby would have had it affected, because he's the guy that has the puck, that the production comes through him. And so that was my internal debate in the car driving home last night.
Crosby's had to navigate through more work stoppages and pandemics.
Major injury
and
with
major
the concussion.
And these are all uncontrollable elements of the game. But yep. Wayne walked into a 21-team league where 16 of them made the playoffs, and a whole bunch of them were not good at all. And yep. Crosby has been playing against much higher across the board talent, in my opinion, better goaltending, and way more teams.
Yeah, better sticks, better skates, better equipment. Like, you know, so you can balance it out. Mm-hmm. And I get like the whole point here is that you're comparing apples and oranges to a certain extent.
Of course. Yep.
Like, I feel that Ovechkin's chase for the goal scoring record with the lockout and with the pandemic and mm-hmm. with all of that is even more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because so Sid, if there was a 48 game season, he needed 48 points in that season to say, hey, I've got a point a game. So the ratio was adjusted. But for Ovechkin to say, hey, I played a season where we only played 48 because of a lockout. I played a season where in March we got shut down because of a pandemic. And then the next year we played 56.
And he still kept scoring 30 goals.
Exactly. That to me is more impressive. The fact that despite all this time missing, he yeah. still was able to add up the goals. Crosby is awesome with the consistency.
But
if you have a half a season, well, if you get hurt and you played 40, you only need 40 points to be a point a game guy. Like, that's the difference.
Based on when they retire, which we can't possibly know yet, do you anticipate them going into the Hall of Fame in the same year?
Well, they would have to retire the same year, right?
Would they? There have been exceptions made before.
There hasn't been any exception in a long time.
It's the world and things can happen. And these two are inseparable. They've been marketed one against the other since they came in.
I think it would be very, very cool to have that happen. Now, this or that, who retires first?
I don't have an answer. I do not have an answer. Marty, I can't believe we're having this discussion. I have been such a Wayne guy.
Yeah.
My entire life. And now both Crosby and Ovechkin are going to pass in some way. So
Ovi has 1 year left to his deal, right? So he has it, but I would think that Ovi may play even longer and Sid has two. Like, we probably have 3 or 4 more years at least of both of them.
Maybe. Head coach to the Emirates, Michael Leone, is on to
settle. We'll ask him the question.
He's here exactly for that reason, to settle the dispute. So after beating Crosby and the Pens last night and dealing with Philadelphia on Saturday, then it's Ovi and the Caps who host Buffalo on Sunday. As the pursuit of Gretzky's record continues, Ovi is 6 away. Washington will not play again until the Sunday matinee against the Sabres. Michael Leone, how are you today?
Doing good. I like the TV set up in the back.
Well, that's how Duffer gets to watch every hockey game that is on, and lacrosse game and AHL game. Like, he just has it all set up that way.
Bandits are sold out, by the way, tomorrow. And so I'll probably not need the monitors, but I'll need a phone to keep watching the Amherst game while I'm at the Bandits game. So, Michael, as a very young individual, how would you compare, contrast Ovechkin, Crosby with Gretzky in previous eras?
Oh, this is a really good question. I think a lot of us probably never would have thought. I mean, he's probably going to get the 900 goals. I mean, it's just unfathomable when you think about, like, just the consistency. Then I believe he was, like, lockout. He missed some time, too. Then he broke his leg this year. I mean, it's unbelievable, like, this. I almost wish, like, I paid more attention when I was younger, you know, like, just how incredible it is to score that many goals and the consistency. And then Crosby, I mean, what is it going to be, 20 years in a row with a point of game? I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, but just watching those two guys, just as a sports fan and a hockey junkie, just to see those guys, it's been incredible. Kind of paved the way for the younger guys of the NHL, and both have won Stanley Cups. And that was big for Ovi, obviously, you know, finding more of a 200-foot game and ask him what they were more physical, and he kind of floats around there now. But if he gets open, he's going to score.
Yeah, that's why Backstrom said, what was the biggest challenge playing with Ovechkin? He said, telling him on the bench that he wasn't open, because Ovi would always say, hey, Nick, I was open. Like, you're not always open. But, okay, we're going to talk about your team, but I'm going to put this or that coaching question to you. Which one would you want to coach? Knowing which we know about them, and you know that's very general about what we know of Crosby and Ovechkin. Which one would you want to coach if you had a chance to coach either one of them?
I would probably have to say Crosby, just because the center position and the. I play my centers a lot. If you check the Sports Logic, I play too much sometimes, but I really value the center position. And, you know, he's never really killed penalties in his life, but he probably could have if he needed him to. But I'd probably go with the center for sure.
The worried – Bruce Boudreau tells a great story about 1 year. His GM, I think, would have been McPhee at the time, was like, I'm hearing Alex is out all the time. I want you to implement a curfew. And he's like, I'm not going to implement a curfew. Curfews were big in the 80s, not now. Yeah. And he goes, no, I want a curfew. So they're on the road. And so Bruce starts calling guy's cell phone. And then he calls Ovi's cell phone. And it's like techno music in the back. And he goes, Alex, are you in? Yes, coach, I'm in my hotel room. Okay, sounds good. He hung up. He goes, he's in. So that's what you deal with when you coach Ovechkin.
Yeah, that's great. I think I heard that story. Someone had that like a week ago on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how's your lineup look tonight now that Josh Dunn has been reassigned?
Yeah. It helps with Dunner for sure. We had a lot of moving parts. You know, Wahlberg was going to play center tonight. I know he's played center in the past, and he'll probably still play center. But at this time of the year, you know, you take some hits, but I think it's just the mindset of the group, regardless of who is in the lineup, of what we're playing for and how the games are going to be. And they're really tight checking, and the games are just different at this time of the year. And then you're getting desperate opponents that are fighting for a certain seeding. And in our league, it's, you know, it's a lot different if you're the 2, 1, 2, or 3 than 4 or 5. You know, looking at the schedule that just came out, if you're 4 or 5, you got to play. You finish the season on Saturday, you're playing Monday, Tuesday, probably Wednesday. So I think the guys know, regardless of who's in our lineup, of what we're playing for and the standard that we need to play. And especially away from the puck at this time of the year, it's a huge emphasis with the group, and the guys have done an incredible job.
We had a chat with Tyson Kozak yesterday on this show, and he kind of was like, well, yeah, I'm probably going to go back to Rochester at the end of the season. And, but you know, we've enjoyed him. So what have you seen out of Tyson Kozak, and what will it mean to you when he returns, you know, towards the end of the season for the playoffs and the final push?
Yeah, for us, it'd almost be like trading for a guy at the deadline, you know, cause he's been up there for quite a bit, and I hope he is. He's played great, but I think all of his, you know, never coached him before, heard a little bit about him, but all of his, the way he plays the game is all the things that you want in a, you know, a depth player in the NHL. Like, he's above the puck. He tracks really hard. He goes, you know, the perfect example is the goal. He must have scored 4 or 5 of those, like the one last night, drives to the net, stops in the house. He's physical. He's really responsible in his own zone. And he, you know, he's one of those guys that you just, I call him winning hockey players, and he wins a lot of shifts by his effort and his compete level. And he has the ability to impact a game without, you know, having to produce. And it's nice to see him. You know, he's got 4 points his last 3 games. I think he's been outstanding, and he was the same way here. I mean, when he's in our lineup, he's just, you know, usually him and Dunner are checking against the other team's top lines, and they've done a great job all season. A lot of D-zone starts, face-offs, great on special teams. If you look at our kill this year, I think we're third in the league or second in the league, and that's a huge credit to those guys. And really happy for him. He's been a pleasure to coach, and happy he's in our organization.
What do you think Roseanne will bring back to you from this latest experience in the NHL?
Yeah, I think Rosie, like the last couple of games, he's been attacking the game, not kind of waiting for it to happen. I think he had a really good shot in the first period. He made a really nice play, and his ability to make plays on the seam pass and the ozone. I think when he's skating, I think it would give him a lot of confidence, you know, doing it. It's one thing to do it at our level, but now to string a couple games in a row where I think if you even listen to, you know, Lindy talk about it in the press conference, he's kind of built a little, groundwork now for, the next game and having confidence. And I think anytime a player goes up and has that success or feels good about their game, usually when they come down, it translates and they play really well.
I mean, when you look at Devon Levi, there has been, there was a curve that was going really high, and of late it's good, but obviously everybody's dealing with a little, trying to play at the next level. And so what do you see out of Devon, and that, he has to kind of tweak a little bit to keep moving forward?
I would say I'm not a goalie guy. I lead on Chamo a lot for that. But I think, Marty, the biggest thing is I think what separates guys is obviously Devin's not the biggest guy. He's the rebound control, of putting, whether it's getting whistles, to get a face off or putting a puck in a corner or those things. And I think he's grown in his game in that sense, and his ability to play in traffic and play his position and find ways to see the puck. But I think he's done a great job with that in practice. It's been an emphasis on his game, so those second, third opportunities are not happening. And then game awareness of, we're extended in the D zone to try to get a whistle, try to make a save, try to get a whistle, and those things. And he's been great all year for us. We're not where we're at without him.
Quickly on this weekend, another 3-3. Thankfully, these are not commonplace or as common as they used to be in the league, but you are getting your fill of it right now. What's the biggest challenge lineup-wise when, you factor in everything we just spoke of with the ups and downs with the Sabres?
Yeah, I think for us, when we go in these situations like, last week, and you try to win the series to try to get ready for playoffs, and we kind of break the season off in segments. So whether a 5-game segment and try to win the segment, and we've done I think there's only been once all year or twice that we haven't won a segment. So try to win the first game, like in a playoff series, to get that momentum in the best of three. I think it's something like 66% of the series if you win in game one. So in a short series, so important that we come out and play the right way, that we play connected. And I think the biggest emphasis is keep defending. I think when you can defend at this time of the year, you have a chance. And that's going to be the focus going into this weekend.
Michael, thank you as always for the time. And Bridgeport, Syracuse. By the way, are you a wrestling fan? Sunday is wrestling day at Blue Cross.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I didn't know until a few minutes ago.
You need to wear a costume. You need to dress up like a wrestler behind the bench.
I'll have Vinny just be himself.
That's exactly what we were hoping for. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, see you guys.
There's head coach Michael Leone of the Amerks. It is wrestling day on Sunday. We really should have saved this for Shayna Goldman. Perhaps we'll double promote here during the course of the show just to get her input. You can learn more about it. Amerks.com/wrestling day. Think of it as like the cage match, the two heavyweights, the arch rivals coming together, Syracuse and Rochester on Sunday afternoon at 3:00. Should be fantastic. Shayna's next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Jason Zucker back at practice today for the Sabres as they get set for 3 on the road. Philly tomorrow, Washington Sunday, Ottawa Tuesday. How much damage can the Sabres inflict on any and all personal and team goals for those three teams here in the next few days? Our favorite personality, I don't think Darren Dreger would take offense to that, is Shayna Goldman. She's from
the Athletic. He's going to throat punch you, Duffer. Be careful. You might come in with a throat punch.
We'd need to get in the same room other than a Zoom room for that to happen. But there's a million places to start. I don't know whether I want to be positive or negative.
Are you going with the Sabres, or are you taking another team?
No, I'm going to take a different path.
Okay, I'll start then, because I know where I want to go. Okay. And it's the Sabres' next opponent, the Flyers. Who's their next coach? Rumor mill already said Ian LaPerriere, who's coaching in the AHL. But do you want to go that route after Torts? Like, I don't know. So who do you think, Shayna?
Yeah, it's a really tough one to say because we don't fully know who's going to be available at the end of this year. And I think there are going to be quite a few coaching changes. But going from the AHL is not necessarily the worst move. I mean, look at the Washington Capitals, right? Look how well it works for them. And if you're a rebuilding team, you want a coach that you know can talk to up-and-coming players. And generally, if you're in the AHL, you should, at the very least, be able to do that. You know, whether you can or not is a different story. But general managers generally pick you because you're trusted to do that. So, you know, I don't think that this is the coach of their future. This is the coach of the next few steps because the harsh reality in the NHL is very few are that true coach of the future, 10-year coaches, right? The average tenure as of yesterday when Torts got fired was 2.3 years in this league. No other major league is that short. So you have to think of it in stints, right? The, okay, now we're a rebuilding club looking to take the next steps versus we're a team looking to return to the playoffs.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are the St. Louis Blues basically about to repeat their own history?
No.
No,
you have to. That path is going to be very difficult because right now you come in as the eighth seed. You're facing off against the Winnipeg Jets, and say you can upset them because the Jets have their own playoff woes. Connor Hellebuyck does not get any rest. Guys like Nikolaj Ehlers need to prove that they're good in the postseason, and all of that. I'll hear it. Right now, you have to go through the winner of Colorado, Dallas, and yes, they are going to beat each other up and not be 100%. Who among us is after the round one of the playoffs? Mm-hmm. But. That's asking for way too much. The Western Conference is way too strong. And while I think what the Blues are doing is unbelievable, right? They're one of the best 5-on-5 teams since Four Nations break. They're also one of the luckiest teams since the Four Nations break. Sometimes it is good to be lucky. Sometimes it's lucky to be good. They are not lucky to be good. They are good to be lucky. You have to make your own luck and generate chances and then finish them and get the saves, right? And play good defense. They are doing all of that and more. But their special teams still aren't there. I don't think you're going on a deep run without special teams. I think you could get away with one or the other, not both.
15-2-2 in the last 19 on the heels of dropping 7 of 9. So, yes, this was unexpected, and they have won 8 in a row. Marty.
Okay, well, St. Louis may be looking like a lock in the wild card, although there's still a lot of runway of the season to be played, but Minnesota looks like they're trending the wrong way. Is Minnesota more in jeopardy of maybe not making the playoffs when you look at Calgary, Vancouver, and St. Louis kind of just pushing ahead, trying to get in?
The Flames, if they liked scoring goals, I would have that conversation, but they simply hate scoring and don't want to give Dustin Wolf the support that he truly needs and deserves at this point. He's earned a lot more than he's getting. The Canucks are the interesting one here, but I have my doubts with them because it's Quinn Hughes and everybody else. For me, the Wild have done enough to keep their playoff space, and the fact that Kaprizov is starting to skate again is really good news. They've dealt with a lot of bad injuries, so if they can get a little bit healthier, you're not just getting a guy back. You are getting the guy back that when he was healthy, was playing at an MVP caliber. At the beginning of the year, all of us were going, it's Kaprizov and everybody else for that Hart Trophy field. So while there's going to be rest and you don't know if he's going to be fully 100% or if he's healthy enough to be back in the lineup, and there are big differences between those two terms, and I think we need to talk way more about that, you know, that'll decide their future. But I think that they've done enough to stay in the playoff race, just not, I don't think they have the juice to go outside of the wild card picture.
So who does win the Hart? Kucherov, MacKinnon, or Draisaitl?
Why did you go with only three forwards?
I don't know.
What about Connor Hellebuck? What about Zach Werenski? I think if any year we are going to get a non-forward ballot, a little bit more variety, this is the year. I will be writing about this. I am going to scream about this until the end of the season. Nathan MacKinnon, sure. Yes, he's amazing. But I think when you're talking MVP, you're having a conversation with him and Makar. Can't be two. It has to be one. There's got to be a bigger gap. Kucherov, he's been incredible. So has Cirelli and Hagel and Gensel and Point. So, and Hedman and Vasilevsky that I go, I'm a little bit more challenged with that. Leon Draisaitl, I think, is the early favorite for good reason, because one, he's a forward, two, he's been everything and more for that Oilers team. There's no doubt in my mind, but I would like to see non-forwards get some looks alongside him.
I don't think Werenski would be in my top five right now. He was probably early in the season, but that feels like that is run its course. Dustin Wolf, if they don't make the playoffs, that's a little tougher.
MVP?
That's for rookie. Sorry, Connor Hellebuck. Sorry.
I'm mixing rookie goalies here.
Connor Hellebuck, I thought if he got to 49 or 50 wins, maybe, but he's not going to get there. So, I think like Draisaitl was before the injury. Now I'm like looking at Kucherov again because I'm like, he may win the Art Ross. Like, okay, so that maybe is the conversation. Nathan MacKinnon's at 108, Kucherov is at 105. Who wins the Art Ross, the scoring championship at the end of the year?
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's going to be really close. They're going to be neck and neck. But I think the fact that Colorado's power play has been clicking a lot more, because they had a really bad streak around the time of the Rantanen deal. Their power play was awful for a month. And I wonder if it wasn't where his point total would be now. And they figured out different line combinations, swapping around. You know, Natchez is playing with Brock Nelson when he was playing with MacKinnon a lot. And I think MacKinnon gets to be a little bit more of like, not that he wasn't the driver of his line before, but like the speed machine. He's the everything and more. Your eyes aren't in two places, they're in one. That I feel like we're going to see him take over games a little bit more. But I won't be surprised if Tampa Bay heats up down the stretch. I feel like that's what they do. They had a slower start to the season, I think, than we know that they can do. And some of it was their scoring depth and the goaltending wasn't perfect up until, what, January, when Vasilevsky really started to hit his stride. That I'm going, maybe Tampa Bay's got it. And they're trying different line combinations. And I think that we're going to see the mix and match everything, see what they have. That I won't be surprised if they start running away with games like they did last night against Utah.
Cooch, by the way, leads the NHL now at 1.54 points per game. However, I am obligated to throw out these numbers that pertain to Nathan MacKinnon. Over the last 100 Avalanche home games, MacKinnon has points in 92 of the 100.
Is that good?
He has 186 points in those 92 games where he has points in front of the home fans. We spent a lot of time, Shayna, talking about Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby at the start of this show. That is a remarkable run for MacKinnon in front of the home fans.
It's incredible. And when you think about it too, like, some teams have bigger cores, right? And Tampa Bay is one of those teams you could go through with Stamkos and Kucherov and Point and Hedman and Vasilevsky. You're naming five players. And then even now there's that turnover and it's still going to be five players just differently. Mm-hmm. Colorado, really, it's three. Because Landeskog's been hurt for so long. It is. It was McKinnon, it was Rantanen, it was Makar. Now it's just two of them. And it kind of shows you just how much more impressive it is, like how much they've changed their supporting cast. And their supporting cast is fantastic. Like, let's not sell them short. Lehkonen and Nichushkin, those guys are great, and so is Natchez, and they're fitting in so well. But he is the guy. He is everything and more. He plays in such a unique way that he has all the finesse and skill in the world that we love about the Connor McDavids of the world. And yet he has all the speed and power and just dominance when he plays, right? He gallops down the ice. He is coming down with speed. If I'm a defenseman, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just going to move out of the way. I don't want to look stupid. I would be like, just go. Just go to the net. Do whatever you want to do. Like, he is intimidating. And he's one of the most skilled players in the world. It's incredible.
Very similar to that season where Wayne Gretzky had a point in every home game with the LA Kings, playoffs and regular season included. So that, you know, if you're buying a ticket to get a good show, you know you're going to get a good Nathan MacKinnon show like you did a good Wayne Gretzky show back in the days. Let me draw it back to the Atlantic here because we did talk about Kucherov and, you know, Brent Marchand looks like he's going to be playing tonight for the Florida Panthers, and Toronto laid an egg against the Sharks last night. So who wins the Atlantic?
Got a point to stay first.
He got a point. They came back with two goals in the last minute and a half or whatever with the goalie pull. But who is going to win the Atlantic? Because this is a mess right now, but a beautiful mess.
It's a beautiful mess. Unlike the wild card picture, like, this is what you want to see, that playoff jostling, right? And it's tough because you're only jostling within three positions, not one, two, you know, one through eight. That would get all mixed up here, and playoff matchups changing by the day. I don't know how it works out, to be honest, because the Panthers have had stretches where you look at them and you're like, okay, you need to get it together a little bit more. And I, you know, you see Seth Jones is struggling without Ekblad there, that he's playing more minutes than maybe he should right now. He's the power play quarterback. Maybe he shouldn't be. But you get someone like Brad Marchand in there, and Brad Marchand's healthy. Yes, his scoring is a little bit down from years past. He is still an elite offensive player. He's a true top six talent. I think he's exactly what this team's missing up front, that I think he can bring the energy, the vibes, and the skill to help push them a little bit further versus a team like the Leafs that blow these games that should be, you know, should be easy wins. And I know they came back last night, and I'll give them that, but you shouldn't be falling behind to the Sharks anyway, and they lost to them earlier this season. So, you know, I have my issues, but this is the beautiful part of it. We are winners either way. We are either going to get the Battle of Florida in round one and then the Battle of Ontario, and I have no complaints there, or we are getting the Battle of the Tkachuk Brothers and Toronto-Tampa, which was originally what I was rooting for. There's no loser here, honestly, except probably the Leafs, because I could see the Leafs losing to the Lightning or the Senators, so everybody else wins.
LA is a loser when they're not playing at home. This is ridiculous. They are the best home team in the NHL. They are 23rd on the road. What is this going to mean for them when the playoffs start?
It's not going to mean much because they're playing the Oilers regardless. And while normally I would say, well, it looks like home ice advantage matters a lot to them, I still go, I don't know if you have the chops to beat the Oilers. As flawed as they are, and they absolutely are flawed, it just feels like a matchup nightmare for them. But when we talk about the Blues being one of the best teams at 5-on-5 since Four Nations, the team that's jumped ahead of them is the Kings. The Kings are thriving at 5-on-5, and they have a little bit more sustainability to their numbers, too. They have a deep lineup. They have, you know, four lines that click, but those top three lines, they could match up to anybody. Byfield, Kopitar, and Danault can all be trusted to play matchup minutes, and I think that's a huge thing. Getting someone like Kuzmenko, did I want them to go bigger at the deadline? Yes. Do I still think he's a very good fit because he can play to his strengths with guys like Kempe and Kopitar? Absolutely. Like, this team is really good, and Darcy Kemper has been great there. That Dubois trade worked out for everybody in better ways than I think anyone could have anticipated. So there's not a lot to complain about with this team when they're at home. But once I get to the postseason, I don't know if it matters anyway.
Well, they have one, or they do have, after a road loss last night against Colorado, 7 of the next 8 at home. So they should once again.
They'll beat the Oilers this year in the first round.
I like it.
I hope you're recording.
Will you say that on a Canadian network that you're likely to freelance for when the playoffs begin?
100%. No, say it. Come on, bring the heat.
I've been banging the drum of they need depth. I wasn't saying they needed somebody to replace Stuart Skinner. They needed depth, somebody to go with Stuart Skinner. And now he gets a couple shots in the head in last week. And like Calvin Pickard's not the guy that you can rely upon in the playoffs. So I'm saying this is going to be tough for the Oilers this year.
Hope you're right. Just for the fun of it. I don't, you know, give me seven games, overtimes. I don't care that it's a 10 o'clock start. Like, let's go be interesting, because I've been waiting for the Kings to upset them, and I gave them 2 years to do it where I was picking them and they let me down. So not, I mean, just because I picked them, I don't care who wins either way.
We got to go to break, but can Jesse Pegula beat Sabalenka in the finals in Miami tomorrow?
Yes. Why not?
Okay.
Bold
okay, why not?
I like that. Shayna and Marty. What a way to close things out here on a Friday on Sabres Live. Shayna, thanks. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Back after this to wrap up Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres in action tomorrow. We hit the air with pregame coverage at 12:30 with a pair of matinees on back-to-back days. There's six in the NHL tonight, three that are relative to the Eastern Conference playoff race. Let me remind you, Montreal's lost four in a row. The Wings have three wins in 14. The Islanders have lost three in a row. The Rangers have lost four out of five. And Columbus has had a perfect week entering their game against Vancouver. The Jackets won miraculously on Monday. Since then, on Tuesday, Montreal, Detroit, and the Rangers lost. On Wednesday, the Islanders lost. And on Thursday, Detroit and Montreal lost. This could not have gone better for the Jackets this week.
It's the perfect week, and they've been sitting at home just with their, like, voodoo dolls, and they're putting pins in the Detroit Red Wings and the Montreal Canadiens and Islanders, and they're hoping that somebody's going to do it to the Rangers, which they play in Anaheim. So this is interesting to me, because the Rangers have been on a West Coast trip. And the other day, they saw everybody losing in front of them, and then they had two shots in the first period. Come on. And now they'll get to see again. Like, they don't play until 10 p.m. By that point, Montreal's done. The Columbus Blue Jackets are done. You get the sense of what's happening in front of you. You should be coming out firing. You should be on your best start in Anaheim in this game. After tonight... And after this weekend, Monday, I may have a different story when it comes to the playoff race in the East, because there could be some big movement happening.
Top scorers in the NHL in the month of March. Points, this is. What do you think's at top?
Jack Eichel.
And?
And, I'm
very proud of you so far.
I'm proud of it, but I knew that because also Jack is the top goal scorer since the start of the month, I believe. But he had 20 points in 12 games or something. But
William Nylander is tied with him at 20. There are four players at 19. The names: Kucherov, Crosby, Hintz, and Holloway.
Yeah, well, Dylan Holloway. How about the St. Louis Blues? Bing, bing, that happens. I should have gotten Kucherov because we were just talking about how he's catching Nathan MacKinnon right now. He's 3 points back. Mm-hmm. And all of that after losing a few chiclets by being his face rammed into the post. And, you know.
Sorry, shouldn't laugh, obviously.
Well, it was kind of funny because his smile on the bench was like all busted up, but it was good. Eichel's had a fantastic month, and we obviously saw that when the Sabres played them.
So is Colorado, so is Dallas, so is St. Louis. Calgary had a tough one last night, 48 shots on goal, got 46 saves from DeSmith. Well, Kadri can. He's got 7 goals during a 5-game goal streak. So
yeah, but where's
remarkable.
The rest of the guys?
Okay, what do we see tomorrow in Philly for Buffalo?
We're going to see it would be interesting to see who starts in net. I think we see Reimer again, and it would be a 4-1 win by the Sabres.
See you at 12:30.